Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11, we'll start at verse number 7. This will be message number 27 in our study of the book of Revelation. We'll begin in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them." Of course, we're talking about the two special witnesses that will be witnessing during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Their ministry now finished. The beast is able to overcome them finally and to kill them. Verse number 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the 10th part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly." Folks, when we get to verse number 7, we find that the testimony or the witness of God's two special witnesses has come to its end. Only now is the beast going to be able to do what he has attempted to do and wanted to do for the whole tribulation period up to this point. Only now is he able to kill them. Folks, I liken this. I don't know how to say it other than that. I liken this to, in a way, to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, man couldn't have taken the Lord Jesus Christ and put him on the cross if he hadn't allowed it to be done. He could have called, the Bible said, he could have called the angels down and destroyed the world and killed all of mankind if he had wanted to, if he had desired to do so. But the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty, manifest in the flesh, willingly allowed himself to be taken by man, put on the cross. Man still could not kill him. He, the Bible says, willingly yielded up the ghost. Now, I think of that as a similar situation of here. God's in control of this situation. There's no way that the beast can kill the two witnesses except God allowed. And folks, God allowed it because He has a further purpose still with the two witnesses, even after their physical death, from the human point of view, at the hands of the beast. Now, the beast, the Bible says, that when their testimony is finished, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. Now, they're killed by the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit. Folks, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit is the Antichrist. Now, from this point forward, the man that we have known as the Antichrist is going to be known as the beast throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time here this morning and kind of set the stage here as to what we're getting at here as far as this matter of the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit. Some would consider that a little bit confusing, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit as being the Antichrist. We've got several things, if you want to follow along in your notes, a large part of what I'm going to say is written down for you. Going back to the beginning of the tribulation period, the Antichrist confirms his covenant with Israel that's supposed to last for 7 years. I want to read Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27. The Bible says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." He being the Antichrist, 1 week being a week of years or 7 years. "And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." Folks, the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation period. In very quick order, the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem. Jews begin to worship again and offer sacrifices in the temple that's in Jerusalem. In the middle of the week, or after the first 3.5 years is finished, the Antichrist is going to break that covenant. He's going to go in, he's going to cause the sacrifices that the Jews have been presenting in that new temple, he's going to cause that to cease. And he's going to set himself up in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. There will be a statue that is set up. The false prophet, we'll see this when we get to chapter 13, the false prophet will have the ability to give pseudo life to that image. You say, "Brother Kirkpatrick, what do you mean pseudo life?" I do not believe that Satan has ever had, nor will he be granted in the tribulation period, I do not believe he has or will have creative power. He does not have the ability to create life. Anytime you have a situation, and I'm going to get to something that deals with that here in just a moment. Anytime you have a situation in the tribulation period where it seems that the beast, the false prophet, or Satan is creating life, what you have is a situation where there's a lot of trickery, if you will. A lot of deceit is going on. There's going to be some occasions where it looks like he's able to create life, but he's not able to do that. Now, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, the Antichrist will attempt to consolidate his world power. He'll be a regional leader over 10 nations of a revived Roman Empire. He's spreading out. He's trying to reach further and further all the time and take more and more control of all the world of that day. A lot of warfare is going on. During that first 3.5 years, his true character is not totally revealed. I want to read another verse in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25. I have a verse in your outline, Daniel 7 and verse 8, and that verse doesn't really give you exactly what I want you to have before you at this point, but Daniel 8, 25 does. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25, the Bible says, "And through his policy," now this is talking about the Antichrist again, "and through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart." Now listen to what it says. "And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand." Folks, a most interesting verse. This verse brings before us this fact that the Antichrist, in the opening part of his ministry, he uses the proclamation of peace to destroy many people and many nations. He proclaims peace, and all the while he's all about war. I've already set my position on this. I believe that the only time that the Antichrist is truly seen or acts as a man of peace is actually in the period of time after the rapture takes place and before the signing of the covenant, in that gap, if you will. During that time, he's operating as a man of peace, but from the time he signs the covenant, the peace covenant with Israel, there's never any more peace. That verse in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25 is interesting in that there's a time period associated with that verse. The first part of Daniel 8, 25 is at the beginning of the tribulation period. The last part of verse 25 is 7 years later And yet that verse doesn't give us that time reference. You have to get that from other portions of the Word of God. Folks, it's that way with much of the Word of God. We get to chapter 12. We get to chapter 12 of Revelation. Between verses 5 and 6 of Revelation chapter 12, you've got the whole church age period that takes place between verses 5 and 6. And yet the Bible doesn't give us that time reference when we're in chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. You get that from other portions of the Word of God. Now, the Antichrist is consolidating his power. Several events take place at the midway point of the tribulation that allows the Antichrist to be the uncontested world leader. Now, folks, when I say that he is the uncontested world leader, I'm using the word uncontested in that all the world will acknowledge that he is the world leader. That doesn't mean that all the people in the world are going to go along with him, because they are not. There's always some nations that are rebelling. There's always some nations that are fighting against him during the tribulation period. And folks, it can't be any other way. Satan's in control. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. Satan is on the one hand getting this nation to do this, and on the other hand he's getting the other nation to do that, and he wants nothing more for those nations to be fighting one another all the time and as many lives lost as possible and doomed for all of eternity. The middle of the tribulation period comes. Several things have happened. Now remember, we've had the sixth trumpet. The sixth trumpet is the demonic army of 200 million. They go forth upon the face of the earth and multitudes of people lose their life. That trumpet, that judgment, takes us right to the middle of the tribulation period. We're coming to the end of that period right now. That demonic army is going to run its 13-month course. A fourth of the world's population is killed by them. The Antichrist has had his armies. Now, can you get this in your mind? The Antichrist has had his army fighting against those demonic horsemen. He's trying to defeat them. The nations are being overran by him, and he's trying to maintain his position as a world leader and say, listen, we can do something about it. We can help it. And sometime during the end of that, just before the middle of the tribulation period, the unthinkable happens. The Antichrist is assassinated. The Antichrist is assassinated. The world can't believe it. They thought he was the one that would give leadership and bring them to economic prosperity. They looked to him as the one that could help them win against the God of heaven, and they could live in all their sin and live like the devil, and it'd be all right because God couldn't do anything about it as long as the Antichrist was there. He's dead now. He's dead now. The whole world's seen it. The Antichrist is killed. Look in your Bible at Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 3. Revelation 13, 3. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 12. It says, and he exercised all the power. Now, verse number 12 is actually talking about the false prophet now. So as we start our thought here, and he or the false prophet exercised all the power of the first beast. The first beast out of the sea is the Antichrist. The beast out of the earth is the false prophet. Starting over in verse number 12. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Look at verse number 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which had the seven heads and ten horns. The beast which thou sawest was, now watch it very carefully. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now, the Antichrist is killed just before the middle of the tribulation period. You notice on your notes there's a little asterisk there at the beginning of that first reference. I want you to drop down to the bottom of that column. A careful study of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3, especially the words, as it were, Revelation 13 and verse 3, as it were, indicates to me that people thought he was dead, but that he never actually died. There's no indication in the Bible that Satan has creative powers. Folks, as far as is taught in the Word of God, if the Antichrist had actually died, there is no indication from the Word of God that Satan would have had the power to resurrect him. I do not believe that the Antichrist actually died. I believe that there was an assassination attempt. The Bible says he was wounded with a sword. I believe there was an assassination attempt. I believe that he was grievously wounded. I believe that the world thought that he had died. I believe they saw his body and it looked like he was dead. I believe that Satan worked a great work of deception and convinced the world that the Antichrist had indeed been killed in the assassination attempt. But folks, I don't believe that he ever actually died. The Bible says that he, as it were, was wounded unto death. Now, in other portions of the Word of God, in the book of Revelation, when we saw the words, as it were, it was introducing symbolism. You remember the great burning mass. The Bible says there was a great ball of fire, a great mass of fire, it says, as it were a mountain cast into the sea. The words as it were are the words in the book of Revelation that many times introduce symbolism. I believe it's doing the same thing in relation to the Antichrist. He, as it were, was wounded unto death. He looked like he was dead. People thought he was dead. I feel like they probably even had a funeral service for him and the whole world watched it on TV. It was an elaborate deception by the master of a deception, Satan himself. And he convinced the world that the Antichrist was dead. Now folks, this is where verse 7 comes in. Verse 7 of chapter number 11. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them. A beast or a demon comes from the pit and possesses the body of the slain Antichrist. It is possible that this demon is referring to Satan himself. However, it is my position that this is not Satan himself, but another prominent and powerful demon that comes out of the pit and possesses the body of the slain Antichrist. I will say this though, from this point forward in the tribulation period, it's almost impossible to tell the difference or to make a distinction between beast, the Antichrist beast, and Satan, because everything that the Antichrist does from this point forward is directly done by Satan himself through that human vessel. Verse number 4. Chapter 13 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast." Now the dragon is Satan. "And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him." Folks, what you have now in the tribulation period, you're going to have a false trinity. We'll say more about it later. You're going to have the beast, who we did know as the Antichrist, but he's the beast now. You're going to have the beast, and you're going to have the false prophet, and you're going to have the dragon, who is Satan. You see, they're going to try to imitate all that God has been doing. Now, do you remember as we began chapters 2 and 3 in the message to the churches? The Bible talked about the special seal for those who were the overcomers. Remember who the overcomers are? The overcomers is every person that's truly been born again. Every person that's saved is an overcomer. The Bible talked about a special seal of God that they would have. You and I have the seal of God right now, folks. And by the way, chapters 2 and 3 is talking about this time period right now. Anyway, we saw a special seal on the 144,000. We saw a special seal on the two special witnesses. You know what? Satan's going to try to imitate that. He's going to proclaim to the world that they have to have his seal on their forehead or in their hand. He's able to perform miracles. The false prophet, I read it a minute ago. I'm not going to get into it right now. We'll get into it later. The false prophet is able to perform all kinds of miracles. You see, they're going to proclaim to the world that you don't need God, that they're more powerful than God, if you'll just follow them, throw in with them, and that they can win over God. A beast comes out of the abyss, out of the pit, a demon, possesses the body of the supposedly dead Antichrist. He is resurrected as far as the world is concerned. The resurrected beast then renews his effort to kill the two witnesses. He again sends his armies against them. But this time the situation is different. Before, no matter what he did, he couldn't do anything about it. No matter what he did, his armies were killed and his special assassins were all killed. But this time, he's successful. Now wait. My goodness. The world's convinced now. The Antichrist had been assassinated, but he's resurrected. Boy, that's just like God. The Antichrist, now the beast, is able to kill the two witnesses that the world has despised for 3.5 years. He'll make war against them and he'll overcome them. Their dead bodies, after they're killed, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. There's no doubt where this city is or what city this is. It's the city of Jerusalem. It's the city of Jerusalem. I've put in your notes. I'm not going to deal with that right now. You can look at it later on. If you want to see specifically when it talks about here, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. If you want to see the particular specific sins of Sodom and Egypt, I've given you some references in your notes that you can look up. And from those, if you have any kind of a reference Bible, you can reference that and read a lot of other verses also. Look at verse 9. Celebration of the earth dwellers. "And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies," the dead bodies of the two witnesses, 3 days and a half. Folks, 3 days and a half means exactly 3 days and a half. It means exactly 3 days and a half. They shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. That was a show of disrespect. Verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Folks, what a sad thing. This is the only place in the Bible that makes mention of those that dwell on the earth rejoicing during the tribulation period. The only time the Bible says that they rejoiced during the tribulation period is that the earth dwellers, by the way, the earth dwellers is a phrase that refers to those that are lost in the tribulation period. The earth dwellers, when they saw that the two witnesses were killed, they began to rejoice, and they had a Christmas celebration. They rejoiced and they began to send presents and gifts to one another. It was just like Christmas. You see, now the world is worshiping the beast. The world's worshiping the beast, not the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no place for Christmas anymore. But they're going to rejoice and send gifts over the death of the two witnesses. It's an interesting thing. The Bible says, the last part of verse 10, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Now folks, the Bible's not too specific or doesn't give much detail about what all the two witnesses did. We know from what the Bible told us in the opening verses of this chapter that they had the power to bring plagues on the earth as often as they would. They had power to shut heaven so that it would not rain. Now, let me throw out an interesting thought. Some good Bible commentators believe that going all the way back to the first seals, when it talked about the drought, and coming forward till you get to the time of the fifth trumpet, when the demons came out of the bottomless pit to torment men for 5 months, and we get to the sixth trumpet where you had the 200 million demon horsemen that killed a fourth of the world's population. Some good Bible commentators believe that those things were called forth by the two witnesses in conjunction with the Lord Jesus Christ opening the seals and blowing the trumpets. Now folks, I don't know about all that. I don't know how you would connect that. That's an interesting thought. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says here that these two had tormented those that dwell on the earth. They had done enough that all the world knew about them, and things that they had been experiencing, different kinds of plagues and whatever it was that they had been experiencing on the earth, they realized that the two witnesses had brought that forth, had called that forth from God. And now they're just delighted. They're delighted that they're dead. I want you to get the picture. The beast is on every radio station and TV screen around the world right now. The beast is on the television, he's on the radio. He's blaspheming the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's claiming victory in this great battle that's been going on between God Almighty and Satan since the beginning of time. He's proclaiming to the world that we've won. You see, here's how I understand this. Remember those 200 million, they continued for 13 months? I believe his armies had been fighting against them. When the 13 months was over and their mission was done and God did whatever He did with them, folks, I don't really know. We talked about that. I don't know what happened to them. Did they just fall off immediately back into hell? What did God do with them at that time when their ministry was over? I'm not sure. But the armies of the beast had been fighting against them. And all at about the same time, their ministry ends and he claimed that he defeated them. The Antichrist was resurrected as the beast. He's able to kill the false prophets, and he's standing up before the world and he's proclaiming that he is God, and the world is to worship him, and the lost world is reveling in joy and sending gifts one to another and saying, yes, he is God. Now, I want you to know something. He's not claiming. The beast at this point in time is not pretending to be Christ. He is not pretending to be a false Christ. He is anti-Christ. He's the opposite of Christ. He is saying to the world, you don't need Christ, because just like he was resurrected, I was resurrected. I was able to kill his two witnesses. I'm stronger. I'm more powerful than he is. The Bible says numerous times in Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 1 is one of those places. It talks about he had upon his heads the name of blasphemy. In Daniel chapter 7 and verse number 8, the Bible says, I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, the Bible says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. In Daniel chapter 11 and verse 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. This is the beast. This is the Antichrist. And shall speak, now listen, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined, shall be done. Folks, the Bible proclaimed way back thousands of years in advance through the prophet Daniel that this man, the beast, would stand up and speak great blasphemies against the God of heaven. He stood up now before the world and he's proclaimed to the world, I have beat God. I have destroyed the demon army. I have defeated his two witnesses. I've resurrected victorious over the grave. Follow me. God cannot stop us. And the world has bought in now lock, stock, and barrel. They say, that's right. It is true. He has defeated God. And the world is rejoicing. Doesn't last very long, though. And after 3 days, verse 11 of chapter 11, and after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Folks, I can see it in my mind's eye right now. You know how we do it today on the news? By the way, I got to where I hate the news. I'm sorry, some of you are just so devastated by that. I got to where I can't stand to watch the news. I don't like to watch it at all. They tell half-truths all the time, and the way they handle things, I don't like anything about it. But you know how it's done? You've got a reporter on the scene, and they're interviewing people that don't have a clue what's going on in the world, you know, and all, but they interview them, and they put their 2 cents worth in there and all. I can see in this situation the cameras haven't stopped rolling since the death of the witnesses. They've been laying in the street. They're watching their bodies. Flies are on them now. The bodies are bloated and beginning to decay and stinking. But you know what? The cameras keep rolling. And they keep showing it worldwide. And they keep interviewing the people all around. They say, what do you think about this? And the people say, oh, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. These two said that they represented God. And they were always bringing plagues on us and everything. And I am so glad. I am so glad that they're dead. It's nonstop. Worldwide. But folks, all of a sudden something happened. Cameras on there. They probably just got through talking about, boy, it won't be long and there won't be anything but bones left there. I mean, the worms will do their thing there and those bodies will be decayed away and there won't be anything but bones. We're not going to bury them. We're going to leave them laying right there. We're going to leave them laying right there and just let the world watch and see how great the beast is. Folks, while all that's going on, while they're doing the interviews and while the gifts are being given out, all of a sudden, the Spirit of life comes back into those two dead bodies and they stand upon their feet. And folks, when they do, it scares the world to death. They thought that they were safe with the beast now. But wait a minute, something's happened. The two witnesses have came back alive. They've stood upon their feet. And the Bible says that great fear fell upon them which saw them. I believe at this point, I believe that masses died of heart attacks. I believe the terror that swept over them was so devastating that many died as a result of the shock of seeing the two witnesses that had been laying dead for 3.5 days come back alive and stand upon their feet. Verse number 12, and they heard a great voice from heaven. Folks, I believe the fear has gotten past words now that man can describe. They saw them stand up, but then these same lost people, they heard a thunderous voice from heaven, the voice of God. The world hears it. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. Oh, friends, listen. God's going to win this thing. I know there's been no doubt in your minds. God's going to win this thing. Just for a little while, the world convinced through the deception of Satan, they thought for a little while that since the two witnesses were killed, that maybe they were on the winning side after all. But no. No, they're not. The two witnesses have a little mini rapture, if you will. The voice of God booms out and they ascend up into heaven, the Bible says. They're resurrected and called up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't have time to deal with it in detail, but I believe that the phrase stood upon their feet has reference also to Israel's resurrection. Now remember, we get to the middle of the tribulation period. The covenant is broken. Israel is going to be directly involved in all that goes on now for the balance of the tribulation period. That phrase, the stood upon their feet, takes our minds back to Ezekiel chapter 37 and the vision of the dry bones. And you remember when those bones stood upon their feet, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, it was a symbolic of the resurrection of the nation of Israel that had been dead in sin heretofore. Verse number 12. At the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, or they were scared to death, if I could use it that way, and gave glory to the God of heaven. Folks, they gave glory to the God of heaven in that they acknowledged that God was the God of heaven. Unfortunately, this is not a phrase that means that they got saved. It's just simply they had to acknowledge that there is a great God in heaven. The two witnesses have been resurrected and they've been called up with Him. And they heard His voice boom out, come up hither, as the two witnesses ascended up into heaven. In the great earthquake in the city of Jerusalem, 7,000 men were slain. Verse 14, the Bible says, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Now, folks, the truth of the matter is, it would have been better if we didn't have a chapter division between chapters 9 and here. Because, see, all of chapter 10 and all of chapter 11 up until this point has been continuing the thought that was started in the closing verses of chapter number 9. You see, the sixth trumpet was the second woe. And he's given details right now that have related, had some relationship to that. But he says in verse number 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. I'll close my thoughts with this in verse 14. I believe that the announcement of verse 14 brings us officially to the midway point of the tribulation period. So the announcement of verse 14 officially closes the first half of the tribulation, and now we'll begin the second half later on.